Welcome to the audio teaching ministry of the Father's House. We hope and pray that you're both challenged and encouraged by this time in the Word.
All right, now I want to welcome our East Bay campus and Napa campus. Come on, you guys glad that God's doing things in all of our communities? Come on, let's give all those campuses a big hand. Welcome them. God bless you guys. You know, I was just introduced and they said that when I preach, because I'm from Baton Rouge, our church loves to shout and loves to do that stuff. And it's actually one of our campuses. The other campuses are kind of more subdued, but there's one campus, and it's more of like an inner city campus, but they talk so loud that I can't hardly even hear myself think. Sometimes I have to be like, chill out, guys. Yeah, that's right. That's right. And a few months ago, I was preaching on a tough subject, and it was something that kind of rubbed the grain a little bit. And this lady in the audience, who was dead quiet, and she said, "The truth in love, the truth in love." So, nobody yelling out like that today, all right? No, I'm so blessed to be able to be with you guys. I've been longtime friends with Joseph and Tasha and Dave and Donna. And I just want you guys to know, you know, I've been in the kingdom of God my whole life, was raised as a pastor's kid and have traveled all over the world. And the Father's House Church is one of the greatest churches that I've ever been to. And I say that standing next to a pulpit, I promise you, this is one of the greatest churches in America. I don't know if you know it, but it's unprecedented what God is doing in your midst. And I know that the Holy Spirit is leading as you guys are building this new building and the campuses that God is launching. You know what I love about the Father's House is the presence of God is a very real and tangible thing when you guys gather. I love to worship here, and it's just a tremendous church. Let me introduce myself. My name is Jonathan, and for years I led worship. I was a worship pastor at the church that I was from. And just a few years ago, God called me to become a senior pastor. And it was something that I pushed away for a long time. But then the Lord clearly spoke to me. And it was one of those things where I had to pull over my car and just let it rest on me. I don't know if God's ever spoken to you that clearly about something, but it was one of those things I knew I had to do. And so 3 years ago, this past week, my wife and I, Angie, have been pastoring Bethany Church in Baton Rouge for 3 years, and God is doing amazing things. I mean, you know, I was happy before, but now I'm so happy in the season of life that we're in. And so I definitely married up. My wife is Angie, and she and I make beautiful kids. I was raised in a family of all boys, except there was one girl. It was five boys and one girl. And so I know how to deal with boys. You know, it's like boys like to get muddy, like to throw stuff, and that's what I was expecting. But God gave me two little girls. And so they're beautiful. They're 4 and 3. And my oldest is named Evie, and she is like obsessed with pink and purple and princess. And my younger daughter, Andy, is taken right after her sister. And the other day she came into my bedroom with a little thing of lipstick, and she said, "Daddy, can I put lipstick on you?" I was like, "No, you can't put lipstick on me." And she said, "Please." I was like, "All right, put lipstick on me, you know." So y'all be praying for me. I want to show you a picture of my two daughters. This is my Evie on the left and Andy on the right. This is the 4th of July, and they are just a trip. But guys, you know where I'm from, Louisiana. You know, Duck Dynasty comes from there, or Swamp People, and they're not making this stuff up. I mean, it's real. The guys come to our church to kill gators on a daily basis kind of thing. I mean, Louisiana is a different type of place, and we got these jokes called Boudreaux and Thibodeau jokes. I don't know if y'all have ever heard of Cajun jokes. Y'all ever heard of Boudreaux and Thibodeau? Y'all want to hear a story about Boudreaux and Thibodeau? You know, the women in Louisiana are crazy. They're crazy. And Boudreaux fell in love with Marie. And he said, "Will you marry me?" She said, "Sure." So they didn't have a long engagement. And they went to the wedding chapel. And Marie was all worked up. She turned into a different person. Boudreaux didn't even recognize her. She was crazy, like Bridezilla. And she had one thing that she wanted. And she said, "I want a horse and a carriage to take us from our wedding." So Boudreaux said, "That's fine with me." And so they got married, and they went outside. They got in the carriage, and Marie yelled, "Go!" You know, we spell go, not G-O, G-E-A-U-X. Go! And that horse started to go. It went about 1,000 feet, and it stopped. She yelled at that horse. She said, "I said go!" And the horse wouldn't go. So she got out, and she slapped that horse, and she said, "That's one!" And went back, got back in the cords. And when she yelled go, that horse started to go again. And Bujo was kind of scared. He's like, "Man, I didn't know I married a crazy woman." They went another 1,000 feet, and that horse stopped, and she got mad. She got out, and she slapped that horse the second time, and she said, "That's two." She comes back and gets in the carriage, and Boudreaux's scared to say anything because he realizes she's all worked up, and so he doesn't say anything, and she kind of gives him the crazy eye. The horse started going, and it stopped again. Marie was mad. She picked up a gun from underneath the carriage and walked up. Now, this is Louisiana now. I know California, nothing like this would ever happen. She shot that horse. And so Boudreaux's in the carriage, and he's like, "Oh, my God, she's crazy." She comes and gets back in the carriage, and Boudreaux said, "Marie, why did you shoot the horse?" And she slapped Boudreaux, and she said, "That's one." So Boudreaux realized that he was in for a life of fun. So you guys have been at an interesting church place in the last few weeks studying the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is an important topic. Many people in Christianity see God the Son. And we have to see God the Son and receive God the Son as our Lord and Savior. But many people don't realize that Jesus said, "I must go. And if I don't go, I can't send the Comforter." And Jesus ascended to the right hand of the Father, and he sent his Holy Spirit. And his Holy Spirit is God with us. Jesus is not God with us. At one point, Jesus was Emmanuel, God with us. But he sent his Holy Spirit, and now the Holy Spirit is God with us. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father. So when you're in worship and you sense God and you feel God is in this place, you're sensing the Holy Spirit. When you feel led by the Spirit and God speaks to you or you feel like he's leading you, that's God, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can't be confined to a style of worship or an expression of worship. He's much bigger than that. The Holy Spirit was in the beginning at creation, and he's all the way at the end when the Spirit and the bride say, "Come." You know, many people in pop culture, when you say Holy Ghost, they start laughing, and they think of tent revivals and crazy people swinging from chandeliers, and it's almost a comical thing because they put the Holy Spirit in a box of a certain style of worship. And when you say Holy Spirit, it's almost like, "Oh, those are Holy Spirit people." Let me tell you something. Every Christian is a Holy Spirit person, because if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're missing out on God. He's not just an it. He's a person, and he wants to dwell in you, lead you, empower you. And so when you begin to realize that your faith can go beyond just believing in Jesus and believing in heaven and believing in hell and believing in demons and angels, when you start to realize that your faith can go beyond that and you can actually be filled with God, that's a crazy thought, that God would fill you. And that's what God desires. When God created Adam, God wanted to hang out with Adam. God actually really loved Adam a ton. And God would walk with him in the cool of the day, and they would have fellowship. But when Adam disobeyed and sinned against God, it separated him from God. And God could no longer commune with Adam, because God is spirit, and those that worship have to worship in spirit and truth. And so God had a complication in his relationship with Adam, because the spirit of man died. God said, "On the day that you eat, you'll surely die." When Adam's spirit died, God was no longer able to commune with man like he once did. But when Jesus came, he paid the price. And when he was resurrected, every person that believes in him comes alive again on the inside. Everybody's alive on the outside, but there are some among us who are the walking dead. They're living on the outside, but on the inside, they're dead. But when you accept Jesus as your Savior, your spirit, man, comes back to life. It's what Jesus calls in John chapter 3. You must be born again, born of the Spirit. And so if you haven't received Jesus, you cannot inherit eternal life. You have to receive Christ and your spirit comes alive. But then God, the Holy Spirit, comes on the scene. Now, the Holy Spirit is bad to the bone. He's the special forces of God. I don't know if you are interested at all with like the Navy SEALs and the Army Rangers, the special forces. I mean, I love the Army, but I'm so interested in the special forces. Like the SEAL Team 6 that took out Osama bin Laden. That's cool stuff. The Navy SEALs are doing stuff that you never hear about. They're blowing up things and you don't even know they did it. But they are called in when there's impossible situations. And the Holy Spirit is the special forces of God. When there's an impossible thing to make happen, God sends in the Holy Spirit. Let me explain. In the beginning, there was nothing at all. Just it was chaos, and the earth was without form and void. And in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2, I want you to check out this verse. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the, help me out, Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. The very first personality we see in the entire Bible is the Holy Spirit. Not Jesus, not the Father, the Holy Spirit. But then if you turn in your Bible all the way to the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22, the Holy Spirit's there. And he's one of the last personalities we see in the entire Bible. Look at this verse. Revelation 22, verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come. He's not just in the first and the last chapters, but he's every step in between. When there was impossible situations, the earth was covered in a flood. God needed order out of that chaos. The wind of the Spirit of God blew on that water and caused order to come. When the children of Israel, they had been in slavery 400 years, and it was almost impossible to bring those slaves out. Imagine a people enslaved for 400 years. They were uneducated. They didn't have any confidence in themselves, and the special forces of God were sent in to liberate those people. And then they were stuck up against an ocean, and God needed a wind to blow to part the Red Sea. The Spirit of God was there to open the Red Sea. And then they needed manna for 40 years and water for 40 years. The Spirit of God was the special forces. But fast forward to the new covenant. God had a plan. God actually wanted to become a man, so he could pay the price for us. That is almost impossible. How in the world could God become flesh? The God that created the galaxies and threw the stars into existence, how could he be incarnate? How could he take on human flesh? Holy Spirit, come help us. The Holy Spirit in Luke chapter 1 overshadowed Mary, and she conceived Jesus. He's in Luke chapter 1 as the Spirit that overshadowed Mary. In Luke chapter 2, he's in Simeon saying that this is the Messiah. In Luke chapter 3, he's the dove that descends on Jesus and says, this is my beloved son. In Luke chapter 4, we see Jesus totally relying on the Holy Spirit. So this morning, I believe that the message that I'm about to speak to you guys, and I'm not going to keep you long, I'm going to give you three short points. Every good pastor only has 3 points. If you got 4, you're a false prophet. Got to have 3. I'm just playing. You can have 4 if you want. I got 3. These are not just 3 points that are cute little points. These are 3 points, if you apply them to your life, it will make a difference. If you want to see your Christianity go to the next level, what I'm about to share with you is something that God has spoken in my life that I apply to my daily life, and it has great fruit. How much did Jesus need the Holy Spirit? Well, if you look closely at the life of Jesus, he relied on the Holy Spirit every day. And when I got to Luke chapter 4, there's 2 verses that show exactly how he relied on the Spirit. So if you have your Bible, let's start in Luke chapter 4 and verse 1. Luke chapter 4 and verse 1. Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, If you have a pencil, underline the word full or highlight it or circle it. Full of the Holy Spirit. Say full.
Full.
Slap somebody and say full. Slap the other person and say, he said he was full. That's Cajun style. He was full of the Holy Spirit. He returned from the Jordan River. He was led. Uh-oh. He was full. He was led by the Holy Spirit. I'm trying to shake my Cajun accent. I'm having a hard time. He was led by the Spirit in the wilderness. And then in verse 14, after he was tempted in the wilderness, he came back. And let's see what it says. And Jesus returned to Galilee, filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Say power. Full, led, and empowered. He was filled, he was led, he was empowered. Say, filled, led, empowered. Say it again. Filled, led, empowered. Come on, everybody. Filled, led, empowered. We got to be filled, led, empowered. When I got a hold of that Jesus was filled, he was led, he was empowered by the Holy Spirit, that became a part of my daily prayer life. Every morning I say, Holy Spirit, fill me, lead me, empower me. So let's talk about those things. Filled. You are a house. Your physical body is a house. It's a temple. Paul calls it a temple. God wants to live in your house. Right now, if you're lost, it's in you and there by yourself. But when God comes to fill your life, the Holy Spirit knocks on your door. You open the door and you say, hello? And you kind of keep the door closed a little bit and the Holy Spirit says, I'd like to come in. You're like, well, my house is a little dirty right now. Can you come back? He's like, no, I've come to help you clean it up. And so, you say, okay. You open the door, but you have no idea what you're getting yourself into. Because he walks in and you have all the doors closed to these different rooms of your life that you can be in this room, but don't go into that dark room and in that room of bitterness and hurt, and don't go in that room of anger. Don't mess with that. But the Holy Spirit says, no, open all the doors. I'd like to dwell. I don't want a room. I want all the house. I want to just live here in the house. And so you allow him to dwell in your house, and then he says, I want to renovate. What do you mean you want to renovate? You just moved in. You can't renovate my house. And he says, yeah, let's tear this wall down. Let's tear down that wall of pride and that wall of bitterness and anger. And you're just sitting there watching him renovate your life. He's the special forces of God. It takes special forces to take you from where you are to what he wants you to be. God, he comes to fill in your life, and he begins to court you and walk you, and that's what we call sanctification. You know, when you get saved, you're not perfect, but you're made righteous, but the rest of your life, he begins to sanctify you, and he fills you. He wants to be there to help remodel. Then he begins to decorate. He puts a smile on your face. He puts joy in your heart. He begins to paint that wall red and that wall blue, no pink. So he wants to help sanctify you, but then he wants to commune with you. You know, God's desire, and when he created man, God wanted to talk with man. And many people never know that God actually desires to have conversations with them. Their whole Christianity is, I believe, and one day I will see. And although that's awesome, and that will get you to heaven, once you come to the place where you believe and you invite God to fill your heart, he wants to actually have conversations with you all the time. It took me a long time to figure that out. I used to pray like this. Hey, God, if you're up there and you hear me, I have a problem. I need you. Do you hear me at all? And I would think that God was way up there. And all the time, God is here. He's not up there. He's in here. He's like, I'm not deaf, Jonathan. I'm like right here. Stop yelling. But so he's living inside of us. He's in you right now. Everybody say, hey, God. Put your hand on your heart. Say, hey, God. Man, isn't that cool that he's filled you? But how much of us go our entire life and ignore him living inside of us? He's in there. It's like living in a house with somebody and never talking to them. Imagine a month going by where you coexisting with somebody in your house and you never speak to them. Some of you guys that are married, that's kind of what your marriage is like. Don't look at your spouse if they're guilty of that. Because they'll say, that's one. The truth in love, the truth in love. Okay, sorry, back to what I'm saying. But living in a house without talking to anybody, that's really tough. And the Holy Spirit is living inside of us, and he's saying, if you would learn how to have conversation with me, that's all I desire, and I can really help you. But many of us, our Christianity is just simply, I believe. And he's saying, no, I'm here. I'm not up there. I'm in here, and I want to fill you. And so I pray every day, Holy Spirit, fill me. Even when I don't feel like praying, I say, Holy Spirit, fill me. Fill me. Every room, every part of my life, fill me with your presence. I want your presence in me. I don't want it up there. You know, we say, come, Holy Spirit. He's kind of like, I'm here. He's already here. He's in us. He wants to fill you. So we pray, fill us. And then the word says that Jesus was led by the Spirit. The Son of God himself was led. There's a bunch of passages in the scriptures. I could take you through different ones. It says that early in the morning, before the sun rose, Jesus would go out and pray. What for? He's God. What does he need to pray for? Well, in Isaiah, it prophesied about him, and it said that he would be led each day, that God would awaken him to his will. I really believe that every day Jesus said, not my will, but thine be done. Holy Spirit, please lead me into your perfect will because I don't want to go my own direction. And the Holy Spirit would lead Jesus into his perfect will. If Jesus needed to be led by the Spirit of God, how many of you know that we do? And I'm going to take this from a church level, the Father's house. Let me address you guys as a church. This church needs to be led by the Spirit of God. You can't afford to make decisions based upon human wisdom and man's wisdom. You'll have limited success and you'll look back and have lots of regret. But if you stay surrendered to the voice of the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, this is your church, you call the shots. And I really believe, this is why I love your pastors so much, is I really believe that Pastor Dave and this whole pastoral team, they really do seek the will of God. And they say, Holy Spirit, lead us. I believe the campuses that are being launched, the buildings that are being built, this is all the orchestration of the Holy Spirit. He is moving. And so we expect this church to be led by the Holy Spirit. We say, not man's wisdom, God's wisdom. And you can see the fruit of that in this church. God is leading. But what about the individual life? I want to talk to business owners. I want to talk to people that are headed off to college. I want to talk to students and wherever you are in life. Did you know that if you follow your own plans for your life, you're going to look back with regret? You don't even know the destination that you're supposed to be headed. You think you do. You have goals and dreams and visions, and maybe it's a retirement plan or something, but you're just making that up. God actually has a purpose for your existence, and only he knows it. And if you say, Holy Spirit, lead me to the destination, he will. I like my iPhone because I can just say, Siri, take me to In-N-Out Burgers. We don't have In-N-Out in Louisiana, so it's like a precious commodity. Siri, take me to In-N-Out Burgers. And she'll say, okay, Jonathan, take right, you know. I start going, I start following Siri's voice, and I end up at In-N-Out Burger. It's the same with the Holy Spirit, but you don't even know your destination. The Holy Spirit sets your destination. And you know there are billions of possibilities. You could take a left here or a right here or go anywhere. But the Holy Spirit knows exactly what the destination is, and he takes you step by step. Take a right. Take a left. Go straight. And I remember as a pastor, you know, when I took over Bethany Church, at the time we had two campuses and about 5,000 people in our congregation on an average weekend. On special weekends, get up to 8,000 people. But as a young man, I remember being so overwhelmed with the size of our church. And I would fall on my face every day and say, God, I am not smart enough. I am not smart enough. Holy Spirit, help me. And I began to learn to rely on his direction in my life. Turn left, turn right, go straight. And I refuse to move unless I feel his leading in my life, because I know that there are thousands of people impacted by every move. And so I begin to rely on that every day. And now it's such a habit in me to just say, Holy Spirit, I'm just dust and dirt. I'm not smart enough. Help me. And I want to challenge you. This is where it comes home for you guys. You men that are running your lives, you're the man of your house, of your family. You're just not smart enough. I don't mean that to insult you. You don't know where you're going. You are smart, but you're not as smart as the Holy Spirit, and only He knows. And so I want to challenge you men to fall on your face before Him every day and say, Holy Spirit, I surrender and submit to your will. Please lead me. Some of you are thinking about buying a business, and it might be a horrible idea, but if you just move on in your own wisdom and don't consult Him, you're going to look back years from now and say, man, why didn't I ask God? It says, in all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will guide your path. Isaiah prophesied about Jesus and said, the Spirit of God will rest upon Him, the Spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, and might, knowledge, and the fear of God. All that rested on Jesus. And guess what? It's available to us as believers. God is saying, if you will allow me to fill you, and then you surrender to me, and I will lead you. You're saying, man, Pastor, that's simple. I know that. But I'm telling you, we don't practice it. I'm not talking about every once a year, you're like, okay, God, I need direction for this year. I'm talking about a constant communication and communion. As He fills you, you say, Lord, lead me. And then it says Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. Then Jesus began to do miracles. It says that He healed all who were oppressed of the devil. Jesus never met a sick person that He couldn't heal, never met a possessed person that He couldn't deliver. He never met any obstacle that He couldn't overcome, and He didn't do that because of His divinity. He did that because the Spirit of God that dwelt on the inside of Him. And He said, greater works will you do because I go to my Heavenly Father. God has sent His Spirit to empower us. And so I realize that if I do ministry without the Spirit of God, that it is dead, it is bland, and it won't produce any fruit. But listen to this, guys. The Holy Spirit is so awesome that when I rely on Him, He's taken this little message that I'm speaking, and He's breaking it into thousands of pieces to mean something to every single one of you. That's His empowerment. And Jesus moved in the power of the Spirit. He wants to empower you for two reasons. I want you to tell somebody two reasons. It's about to be good. Two reasons. Two reasons. He empowers you for two reasons. The first reason He empowers you is to live righteously. We don't have the ability to live righteously on our own. The other day I was in my house and I opened a cabinet. And I went down to get a pot out of the bottom cabinet. And I forgot that the cabinet was open above my head. I don't know if anybody's ever done something like that before. And I came up really fast, and I hit my head on the corner of that cabinet. And it was one of those things where rage filled me. I mean, like, my temperature, my whole body temperature went up like 3 degrees right then. And my blood started to boil, and I just, you know, it was one of those things, you're just looking for something to punch, you know? I didn't even know how to respond. But the Holy Spirit helped me in my weakness. And I said, I love you, Jesus. I do. I love you, Jesus. Oh, God. He wants to empower you to live righteously. And the way that He does that is He begins to convict you. And don't callous your heart to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Once you get saved, He's going to say, don't say that. That's a lie. You just lied. Like, okay. He says, don't look at that. Don't think that. And you begin to listen and obey. And guess what? It begins to produce a harvest of righteous living in your life. You are flesh and dirt, and you don't have the ability to live righteously by yourself. Amen? But the Holy Spirit inside of you, He is the empowerment. So if you're not asking Him to empower you to live righteously, you're trying to fulfill things in the flesh, but you need to rely on the Spirit to live righteously. Because Galatians 5:22 says, and this is where you can start preaching at me, that He wants to fill your life with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, and that was only eight. Forgot the ninth one. Faithfulness. There we go. But He wants to fill you with the fruit of the Spirit. And so He wants to empower you to live righteously. And the second thing He wants to empower you to do is to minister effectively. We have to minister by the Holy Spirit. I think about guys like Philip, the evangelist. Maybe you've never read the story about Philip, the evangelist. He was just a normal guy. Just a normal guy. But one day, he was walked up next to a carriage. And there was a man riding in the carriage reading the Bible. And the Holy Spirit said, talk to him. So he said, what are you reading? And the guy said, I'm reading this passage. And Philip said, do you need help understanding it? And the guy said, yeah. So he explained it to him. Well, the guy got saved. And so Philip said, well, you got to be baptized. And he said, there's some muddy water right here. Why don't we be baptized right here? So they got down and they were baptized in the water. And the moment that Philip baptized him, he disappeared and was translated to another city because he was following the Holy Spirit. Now, that's crazy stuff. I know that's crazy stuff, but it's in the Bible. God translated him to an entirely different city. And the early church was so reliant on the Holy Spirit for ministry that Peter began to walk through the streets of Jerusalem, and his very shadow that would come across people would heal the sick. Paul, the apostle, was so empowered by the Spirit that handkerchiefs were taken from his body and laid on sick people, and they were healed. And I really believe that in today's society, in today's world, God wants to do the same things, but He's looking for a people who will say, God, fill me, lead me, and empower me. You can't pray prayers that are not empowered by the Holy Spirit. They're weak. They don't have power. But when you say, Holy Spirit, pray through me the perfect will of God, He'll begin to pray powerful prayers to you. A few weeks ago, a lady from our church came to me and showed me a picture of her mother. Her mother had stage 4 cancer, lymphoma, and she had a tumor that was way out to here. I couldn't even hardly look at the picture because it was so just was hard to look at. And she said, her mom was living in Indonesia, and she said with an accent, she said, Pastor, if you pray with me, she'll be healed. And I saw such faith in her heart, and I said, I'll believe with you. So I joined hands with her, and I said, God, there's no distance in prayer. And when I started praying, I felt faith fill my heart that she'd be healed. I said, God, there's no distance in prayer. And right now we pray, we come before your throne and we agree that her mom is healed and that cancer is dying right now in Jesus' name. When we got through praying, I felt a confidence that it was done. And just last week at church, she come running up to me. She was crying, laughing. She had a picture of her mom. She couldn't wait to get to church to show me. She brought a picture of her mom, and it was a picture. There was no tumor on her mom's face. She had been completely healed. Come on, somebody. The truth in love. But we need to begin to pray powerfully by the Spirit. And so, church, this is what I'm saying to you. The Holy Spirit's not a small deal. He is a big deal. He's a huge part of our faith. He is God with us. And I'm telling you, I'm learning more and more to rely on Him. As the team comes, I just want you to imagine a church. Imagine a church where not just the leadership is led by the Spirit, but every person is filled, led, and empowered by the Spirit. I challenge you to do something this week, every day, by yourself. Maybe it's in your car. Maybe it's right when you wake up, you go into another room. But I challenge you to pray this prayer. Holy Spirit, fill me, lead me, empower me. I surrender to you. Amen.
For more information on our church and other teaching resources, log on to our website at tfh.org or call our office at 707-455-7790.